Hinweise und Beispiele für die zentralen schriftlichen Prüfungsaufgaben Englisch. Mittlerer Schulabschluss. Aufgabe 1. Hörverstehen.
Fill in the grid. Where to stay when on holiday in South Africa. Listen to 3 radio commercials for accommodation in South Africa. While listening, fill in the grid in 1 to 5 words or numbers. Fill in 1 piece of information per box. There is 1 example. You will hear the recording twice. You will have 15 seconds before you listen to the second recording. You now have 30 seconds to look at the task.
Welcome to South Africa. Here is some information on where to stay and what to do. Cape Town Backpacker Lodge. This hostel is a great alternative to expensive hotels. Our rates are unbeatable. From $10 to $29 per night. We can be found easily as we are rather close to Cape Town, only 1 kilometer from the city center. Our friendly staff will try its very best to make your stay enjoyable. You will be shown around, not only to your room, but also to our entertainment room, which includes a flat-screen TV and computers with internet, or to our nice patio, where you can play table tennis. Equipment can be rented at the info desk. At night, you might want to enjoy a fresh cold drink at our bar, which is open from 6 p.m. until midnight. All of our rooms are air-conditioned. We offer 4-bed, 6-bed, and 8-bed rooms. Families can book our family suite with an attached bathroom. Don't wait, book now. We're looking forward to seeing you here. The Penguin Bay Resort is the best place in all of South Africa for outdoor lovers. We offer 2 types of camping accommodations. Camping sites and platform tents which sleep 4 people. Each site has a metal fire pit, parking spot and picnic table. Water faucets and toilets are shared. If you don't want to bring all of your camping equipment and sleep on the ground, you can also rent a large military-style tent. There is a general store where you can buy food, toilet paper, and other things you may need. You can also rent sleeping bags. We offer a bus service for $15 that runs to and from the Johannesburg Airport twice a day at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. The resort is located only 5 minutes away from the world-famous Penguin Bay. Our guests can enjoy the beautiful nature and relax in Penguin Bay, go swimming in the bay, or in our swimming pool. We also recommend that you reserve a place in advance because we only have enough space for 250 guests. You can check in at any time. Many people in Durban visit the Old Durban Inn for a drink and some fine dining in the excellent hotel restaurant, which has been rated one of the best places for authentic Durban dining by World's Best Restaurants Guide 2011. Some local restaurant visitors do not even know it is also a 3-star hotel, which can accommodate 40 guests in 16 twin rooms and 8 single rooms. It is known throughout Durban as a great place for a romantic evening or a wedding location. It is easy to find because it is close to the Durban Airport on a cliff overlooking the beach. The old Durban Inn is known for its great seafood as much as its African style. There is a stuffed lion next to the check-in desk, and real wood carvings made by local African artists can be found throughout the rooms, along with black and white photos, which show important scenes from South Africa's history. The staff is very friendly and knowledgeable about activities and sites to see in Durban. You can check in anytime after 2 p.m. Twin rooms cost $54 per night. Here you will experience the best of Durban with all your senses, tasting excellent food, smelling the ocean air, seeing history and art, and listening to tips from our experienced staff. We hope to see you soon. Welcome to South Africa. Here is some information on where to stay and what to do. Cape Town Backpacker Lodge. This hostel is a great alternative to expensive hotels. Our rates are unbeatable. From $10 to $29 per night. We can be found easily as we are rather close to Cape Town, only 1 kilometer from the city center. Our friendly staff will try its very best to make your stay enjoyable. You will be shown around, not only to your room, but also to our entertainment room, which includes a flat-screen TV and computers with internet, or to our nice patio, where you can play table tennis. Equipment can be rented at the info desk. At night, you might want to enjoy a fresh cold drink at our bar, which is open from 6 p.m. until midnight. All of our rooms are air-conditioned. We offer 4-bed, 6-bed, and 8-bed rooms. Families can book our family suite with an attached bathroom. Don't wait, book now. We're looking forward to seeing you here. The Penguin Bay Resort is the best place in all of South Africa for outdoor lovers. We offer 2 types of camping accommodations: camping sites and platform tents, which sleep 4 people. Each site has a metal fire pit, parking spot, and picnic table. Water faucets and toilets are shared. If you don't want to bring all of your camping equipment and sleep on the ground, you can also rent a large military-style tent. There is a general store where you can buy food, toilet paper, and other things you may need. You can also rent sleeping bags. We offer a bus service for $15 that runs to and from the Johannesburg Airport twice a day at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. The resort is located only 5 minutes away from the world-famous Penguin Bay. Our guests can enjoy the beautiful nature and relax in Penguin Bay, go swimming in the bay, or in our swimming pool. We also recommend that you reserve a place in advance because we only have enough space for 250 guests. You can check in at any time. Many people in Durban visit the Old Durban Inn for a drink and some fine dining in the excellent hotel restaurant, which has been rated one of the best places for authentic Durban dining by World's Best Restaurants Guide 2011. Some local restaurant visitors do not even know it is also a 3-star hotel, which can accommodate 40 guests in 16 twin rooms and 8 single rooms. It is known throughout Durban as a great place for a romantic evening or a wedding location. It is easy to find because it is close to the Durban Airport on a cliff overlooking the beach. The Old Durban Inn is known for its great seafood as much as its African style. There is a stuffed lion next to the check-in desk, and real wood carvings made by local African artists can be found throughout the rooms, along with black and white photos, which show important scenes from South Africa's history. The staff is very friendly and knowledgeable about activities and sites to see in Durban. You can check in anytime after 2 p.m. Twin rooms cost $54 per night. Here you will experience the best of Durban with all your senses, tasting excellent food, smelling the ocean air, seeing history and art, and listening to tips from our experienced staff. We hope to see you soon.
Questions and answers. Amanda Kendall, not a ballerina. Listen to the recording. Answer the questions by writing down short answers, 1 to 5 words or numbers. There is an example. You will hear the recording twice. You have 15 seconds between the recordings. You have 1 minute to look at the task now.
Amanda Kendall is a travel writer who has lived in 4 countries and traveled to 40. Our team from Women on the Road loves her blog, notaballerina.blogspot.com, and the fact that Amanda writes, travels, and teaches English. Now meet Amanda in our interview and learn about her dream to publish a novel, or better, 3. Your stories are so special. How do you come up with them?
I'm always on the lookout for unique topics and interesting facts that most people haven't heard of, and I try to combine them with the mainstream information that travel readers are also looking for. A lot of stuff comes from unplanned events and interesting people I've met along the way.
What does travel do for you?
It might sound overly dramatic to you, but travel makes me feel alive. I love to see new landscapes, meet new people, be exposed to different cultures, and hear other languages. In a sense, I am a bit afraid of a normal life. So travel makes me feel like I am making the most of my time here on Earth.
You sound so adventurous. Where wouldn't you go?
Wow, I'm not that adventurous. I can't bungee jump or scuba dive. But I guess I have visited countries others wouldn't, and always in an independent, backpacking kind of way. Where I would never go. I would never travel to undemocratic states. For example, I dropped my plan to visit North Korea. I couldn't stand the thought of being supervised all the time, and I'm definitely not adventurous enough for space travel.
Your hometown, Perth, is warm, yet you like cold destinations like Russia or Finland, Switzerland, Germany. What draws you to the winter?
I think it is a childhood dream. Never in history has there been any snow in Perth. That makes snow a real fantasy for kids who grow up there. I think winter landscapes are absolutely gorgeous. During my homestay in Vladivostok, I admired the heavy fur coats my host had lined up for the harsh winter. I had never seen such a thing before, and I couldn't imagine having to wear one. Cold winters are okay, but only for a visit. And honestly, I hate the ice that comes with them.
What are some of your dream destinations?
One of them is Papua New Guinea. It's so close to Australia, but we know so little about it. Iceland is one of my favourites too. friends recently showed me photos of an amazing variety of landscapes. For many of the students I teach, I've learned so many interesting facts that it makes me sure I really want to go there soon. The continents I haven't visited yet are South America and, of course, Antarctica.
You are also a fiction writer. How do you link fiction with travel themes?
The majority of my fiction is tied up with travel themes and the difference between various cultures. I have completed the draft for a novel set in Japan. Putting characters into slightly unusual settings keeps it interesting for me because it means travelling through these characters while I sit in Perth.
What's next for Amanda?
Oh, I wish I knew. Well, in short term, it will be a trip around New South Wales, especially Sydney and the Hunter Valley, because my German husband hasn't been outside Western Australia in the 2 years we've been here.
Thanks a lot, Amanda. We will accompany you following your blog entries. Amanda Kendall is a travel writer who has lived in 4 countries and traveled to 40. Our team from Women on the Road loves her blog, notaballerina.blogspot.com, and the fact that Amanda writes, travels, and teaches English. Now meet Amanda in our interview and learn about her dream to publish a novel, or better, 3. Your stories are so special. How do you come up with them?
I'm always on the lookout for unique topics and interesting facts that most people haven't heard of, and I try to combine them with the mainstream information that travel readers are also looking for. A lot of the stuff comes from unplanned events and interesting people I've met along the way.
What does travel do for you?
I might sound overly dramatic to you, but travel makes me feel alive. I love to see new landscapes, meet new people, be exposed to different cultures, and hear other languages. In a sense, I am a bit afraid of a normal life. So travel makes me feel like I am making the most of my time here on Earth.
You sound so adventurous. Where wouldn't you go?
Wow, I'm not that adventurous. I can't bungee jump or scuba dive. But I guess I have visited countries others wouldn't. And always in an independent, backpacking kind of way. Where I would never go. I would never travel to undemocratic states. For example, I dropped my plan to visit North Korea. I couldn't stand the thought of being supervised all the time, and I'm definitely not adventurous enough for space travel.
Your hometown, Perth, is warm, yet you like cold destinations like Russia or Finland, Switzerland, Germany. What draws you to the winter?
I think it is a childhood dream. Never in history has there been any snow in Perth. That makes snow a real fantasy for kids who grow up there. I think winter landscapes are absolutely gorgeous. During my homestay in Vladivostok, I admired the heavy fur coats my host had lined up for the harsh winter. I had never seen such a thing before, and I couldn't imagine having to wear one. Cold winters are okay, but only for a visit. And honestly, I hate the ice that comes with them.
What are some of your dream destinations?
One of them is Papua New Guinea. It's so close to Australia, but we know so little about it. Iceland is one of my favourites too. Friends recently showed me photos of an amazing variety of landscapes. For many of the students I teach, I've learned so many interesting facts that it makes me sure I really want to go there soon. The continents I haven't visited yet are South America and, of course, Antarctica.
You are also a fiction writer. How do you link fiction with travel themes?
The majority of my fiction is tied up with travel themes and the difference between various cultures. I have completed the draft for a novel set in Japan. Putting characters into slightly unusual settings keeps it interesting for me because it means travelling through these characters while I sit in Perth.
What's next for Amanda?
Oh, I wish I knew. Well, in short term, it will be a trip around New South Wales, especially Sydney and the Hunter Valley, because my German husband hasn't been outside Western Australia in the 2 years we've been here.
Thanks a lot, Amanda. We will accompany you following your blog entries.
Fill in the grid. Superstitious? So are the players of Arsenal FC. Listen to the football players. Fill in the grid with information about the football players. Just write down keywords or numbers. You will hear the recording twice. You will have 15 seconds before you listen to the second recording. There is one example. You now have 1 minute to look at the task.
Are you superstitious? So are the Arsenal FC players. Good afternoon, and welcome to our radio show. Footballers are well known for their strict routines, both on and off the pitch. Some even argue that if they didn't keep to their routines, then they would surely lose the game on match day. They are currently preparing themselves for their match against Chelsea FC on Friday, 13th of December. I was lucky enough to have the chance to ask them about what they do before a match to ensure they keep luck on their side. I asked 5 top players to describe their game day rituals. To begin with, I questioned Arsenal midfielder Jack Wilshere on his personal superstitious beliefs. Hey Jack, nice to meet you. So, are you superstitious?
Sort of. I used to wear the same pair of socks for every game I played because I thought they were lucky. They were red and white, but looked very dirty. We were winning a lot of games back then, and I thought that was because I was wearing the same pair of socks all the time. I still wear them, but only for international games. They're the most important.
Wow, interesting. Now let's talk to striker Mesut Özil. What are your superstitions?
I'm definitely the most superstitious on the team. I always insist on being the last player to put on his shorts, and I will often take them off again if one of my teammates decided to change his. I also have to wear my headphones and listen to music as well. It helps me pump myself up before playing in front of a big crowd.
Thank you, Mesut. Now we can talk to Carl Jenkinson, who plays in defense. Can you tell our listeners about your game day ritual?
Of course. As a defender, I know I have to keep my attention levels high. Therefore, I eat the same meal before a game every time to increase my energy levels. I like eating good whole foods because it makes me feel healthy before I go out onto the pitch.
Wow, I can't imagine eating the same thing all the time. I would get so bored. All right, now to Theo Walcott, striker, to tell us what's important to him before a game.
I have to touch the grass as soon as I get onto the pitch. The turf always feels nice to me, and it calms me. I touch it because if I didn't, I know we would surely lose. I can't talk to anyone before a match or look at the audience until I have touched the grass.
I see. Thanks, Theo. I know our listeners are very eager to hear about the goalkeeper's superstitions, as goalkeepers are renowned for being a bit crazy with their pre-match activities. Is this true, Wojciech?
I think it's important to try and keep focused. My desperation for success makes me superstitious. The night before a game, I have to drink hot milk to help me sleep because I am usually very nervous and have trouble sleeping. All I can think of is football, but the milk soothes me. I also watch video clips of my favorite football goalkeepers, for example, David James or Joe Hart, so I can copy their technique.
Thanks! It was so interesting to hear all about your many rituals. Best of luck for the match on Friday. Are you superstitious? So are the Arsenal FC players. Good afternoon, and welcome to our radio show. Footballers are well known for their strict routines, both on and off the pitch. Some even argue that if they didn't keep to their routines, then they would surely lose the game on match day. They are currently preparing themselves for their match against Chelsea FC on Friday, 13th of December. I was lucky enough to have the chance to ask them about what they do before a match to ensure they keep luck on their side. I asked five top players to describe their game day rituals. To begin with, I questioned Arsenal midfielder Jack Wilshere on his personal superstitious beliefs. Hey Jack, nice to meet you. So, are you superstitious?
Sort of. I used to wear the same pair of socks for every game I played because I thought they were lucky. They were red and white, but looked very dirty. We were winning a lot of games back then, and I thought that was because I was wearing the same pair of socks all the time. I still wear them, but only for international games. They're the most important.
Wow, interesting. Now let's talk to striker Mesut Özil. What are your superstitions?
I'm definitely the most superstitious on the team. I always insist on being the last player to put on his shorts, and I will often take them off again if one of my teammates decided to change his. I also have to wear my headphones and listen to music as well. It helps me pump myself up before playing in front of a big crowd.
Thank you, Mesut. Now we can talk to Carl Jenkinson, who plays in defense. Can you tell our listeners about your game day ritual?
Of course. As a defender, I know I have to keep my attention levels high. Therefore, I eat the same meal before a game every time to increase my energy levels. I like eating good whole foods because it makes me feel healthy before I go out onto the pitch.
Wow, I can't imagine eating the same thing all the time. I would get so bored. All right, now to Theo Walcott, striker, to tell us what's important to him before a game.
I have to touch the grass as soon as I get onto the pitch. The turf always feels nice to me, and it calms me. I touch it because if I didn't, I know we would surely lose. I can't talk to anyone before a match or look at the audience until I have touched the grass.
I see. Thanks, Theo. I know our listeners are very eager to hear about the goalkeeper's superstitions, as goalkeepers are renowned for being a bit crazy with their pre-match activities. Is this true, Wojciech?
I think it's important to try and keep focused. My desperation for success makes me superstitious. The night before a game, I have to drink hot milk to help me sleep because I am usually very nervous and have trouble sleeping. All I can think of is football, but the milk soothes me. I also watch video clips of my favorite football goalkeepers. For example, David James or Joe Hart, so I can copy their technique.
Thanks! It was so interesting to hear all about your many rituals. Best of luck for the match on Friday!
Multiple choice, an interview with Simon Dumont. Listen to the interview with Simon Dumont, US freestyle skier, also aerialist, held shortly before the Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. Tick the correct statement, A, B, C, or D. Only one answer is right. There is an example. You will hear the recording twice. You have 15 seconds between the recordings. You now have 2 minutes to look at the task. Lola Westfield from Rocket Fast interviews 2014 Winter Olympics hopeful freestyle skier Simon Dumont.
Hi, I'm here with US freestyle skier Simon Dumont, who is gearing up for his first Winter Olympic Games in Sochi in 2014 in the Superpipe freestyle event. Now, you're known for a signature move called the switch double cork. What is that exactly?
To do a switch double cork, you need to leave the jump while skiing backwards and then spin sideways while moving forwards. I spin in a full circle at least 3 times. A switch double cork takes about 5 seconds and I can go about 30 feet in the air.
What is so special about that move?
You leave the jump backwards and rotate in 2 different ways at the same time. Doesn't that sound hard?
Yes, and what do you do to keep in shape in the summer?
I don't ski, but you could say I have a need for speed, so I ride my road bike a lot to keep my legs and back strong. I mainly lift weights and do other conditioning exercises to get ready for the next season. I have a good physical therapist who makes sure I am doing the exercises the way I should. It always helps to have a second pair of eyes watching over me.
In addition to the bodywork and physical conditioning, there has to be a kind of psychological preparation too. Is that right? And what do you do to get yourself mentally strong?
Oh yes, psychological preparation is important. I learned to stay cool at the events because I have done so many and because I think positive thoughts. I prepare myself mentally before each competition. While training, it's important for me to set small goals to get results I can see in a week or two so I don't get discouraged. Right before my event, I just relax and enjoy the view from the top.
I know in 2007 you had a bad accident, and in 2009 you tore the ACL tendon in your knee. How have your injuries impacted your relationship with the sport?
I was only out for 2 months after my accident in 2007. I overshot a jump in Park City, Utah by 80 feet and landed on my back. I broke my hip in 3 places, but I was back on the slope in 2 months. That didn't have a big impact on my career, but it was a drag. When I tore my ACL in 2009, it wasn't life-threatening, but I needed to stop skiing for a whole year. I used my recovery time to understand my body better.
Did your injuries make you a better athlete?
Yes, definitely. When you have an injury, you really need to understand how your body works. I became more knowledgeable of every muscle in my body and which ones need to be stronger. I know exactly how much time I need to recover after training, for example.
So what are your hopes for the next Olympic Games?
I'm just going to do my thing. Big air, six spins, and just do what I do on the superpipe. Obviously, one of my biggest goals is winning the gold medal, but on the pipe, you can't focus on winning. You just need to take it one step at a time. I hope I make it to the Olympics uninjured, not like this year when I competed in the X Games with two broken wrists. I couldn't even use poles, but I left with a bronze medal. Every practice is a risk. That's just how it is in this sport.
I'll be keeping an eye out for you in 2014. I'll cross my fingers that you stay fit and avoid injuries. Thank you for your time, Simon.
Thank you very much.
I'm Lola Westfield for Rocket Fast.
Lola Westfield from Rocket Fast interviews 2014 Winter Olympics hopeful freestyle skier Simon Dumont.
Hi, I'm here with U.S. freestyle skier Simon Dumont, who is gearing up for his first Winter Olympic Games in Sochi in 2014 in the Superpipe freestyle event. Now, you're known for a signature move called the switch double cork. What is that exactly?
To do a switch double cork, you need to leave the jump while skiing backwards and then spin sideways while moving forwards. I spin in a full circle at least three times. A switch double cork takes about 5 seconds and I can go about 30 feet in the air.
What is so special about that move?
You leave the jump backwards and rotate in two different ways at the same time. Doesn't that sound hard?
Yes, and what do you do to keep in shape in the summer?
I don't ski, but you could say I have a need for speed, so I ride my road bike a lot to keep my legs and back strong. I mainly lift weights and do other conditioning exercises to get ready for the next season. I have a good physical therapist who makes sure I am doing the exercises the way I should. It always helps to have a second pair of eyes watching over me.
In addition to the bodywork and physical conditioning, there has to be a kind of psychological preparation, too. Is that right? And what do you do to get yourself mentally strong?
Oh, yes. Psychological preparation is important. I learned to stay cool at the events because I have done so many and because I think positive thoughts. I prepare myself mentally before each competition. While training, it's important for me to set small goals to get results I can see in a week or two so I don't get discouraged. Right before my event, I just relax and enjoy the view from the top.
I know in 2007 you had a bad accident, and in 2009 you tore the ACL tendon in your knee. How have your injuries impacted your relationship with the sport?
I was only out for 2 months after my accident in 2007. I overshot a jump in Park City, Utah by 80 feet and landed on my back. I broke my hip in three places, but I was back on the slope in 2 months. That didn't have a big impact on my career, but it was a drag. When I tore my ACL in 2009, it wasn't life-threatening, but I needed to stop skiing for a whole year. I used my recovery time to understand my body better.
Did your injuries make you a better athlete?
Yes, definitely. When you have an injury, you really need to understand how your body works. I became more knowledgeable of every muscle in my body and which ones need to be stronger. I know exactly how much time I need to recover after training, for example.
So what are your hopes for the next Olympic Games?
I'm just going to do my thing. Big air, six spins, and just do what I do on the superpipe. Obviously, one of my biggest goals is winning the gold medal. But on the pipe, you can't focus on winning. You just need to take it one step at a time. I hope I make it to the Olympics uninjured, Not like this year when I competed in the X Games with two broken wrists. I couldn't even use poles, but I left with a bronze medal. Every practice is a risk. That's just how it is in this sport.
I'll be keeping an eye out for you in 2014. I'll cross my fingers that you stay fit and avoid injuries. Thank you for your time, Simon.
Thank you very much.
I'm Lola Westfield for Rocket Fast.